Hey everyone, lovely to see you. So, isn't it fun when you actually see our faces rather than just the kind of names on discussion forums? It's always so fun to see kind of bodies associated with those names and energies. So, I'm thrilled to see you all here. Just got some folks arriving. Really cool. So let's kind of get here, right? Like, just wonder if you want to have a little stretch of your hands and feel your feet on the floor. Give your butt a little wiggle, your feet. Yeah, just kind of like let your body know this is you're here now. This is where you're here. And for the next hour, you just get to hang out with these fabulous humans. What more could you want? For anyone who is watching the recording, who for lots of reasons, time zones, complete bane of my life, energy levels, just where you're at, other responsibilities. We're sending all the love to you. If you're not here live because you're feeling a little bit behind, I just really want to invite you to pop along to the next one because you can't get behind. I've been doing this work for nearly 12 years and I'm still going. So there's no race. There's no kind of there that we get to. But yeah, it's really good to see you all. So what are we going to do today? Well, let me share my screen with you. I've got a couple of slides to help us move along. I'll just make sure I can see anyone else who arrives. It's a bit like the Starship Enterprise over here. Okay, so today we're going to do a couple of things. We're halfway through our core curriculum. Okay, so I wanted to do a little bit of a check-in around that, and we're going to do some reflections around just where you're at right now. But mostly, I wanted to spend today doing some coaching and perhaps some teaching. Wanted to really allow the space to be opened up to you if you have questions, frustrations, things that you're maybe a bit kind of ambivalent about, or things you just need some help with, then that's what today is going to be all about. So let's spend just a few moments. I wanted to do this check-in, and I've got five reflection questions for you. And the idea here is that there's no right answer, like everything that we do together. It's much more about like what comes up for you, noticing that, okay? So I just want to give you a reminder of where we're at, okay, in the program. So we spent a couple of weeks understanding our self-doubt, right? The self-doubt loop, and looking at things like where in our lives have events happened, have we received messages from other people that make our sensitivity to particular risks, like the reason that our self-doubt tries to keep hold us back and protect us, like really making sense of those root causes, understanding that they're there for a good reason. They explain why we get kind of locked into that self-doubt loop. Even if we don't love those reasons, most of us don't, right? They're like, oh, that's the worst thing. I don't want this, right? I didn't ask for this. But it's more about just seeing, oh, it does make sense, right? Because then we can work on changing that. Yeah. So then we moved into kind of untangling from these beliefs that our protectors kind of hand over to us. So we talked about this protector model, right? Of these four different sort of patterns of protective beliefs and behaviors, the critic, the martyr, the scapegoat, and the bystander. Really, just to get a sense of what's the pattern I get locked into, right? How does this sophisticated thing called self-doubt actually show up for me? So that you can see that it's doing its job in that it's trying to hold you back and it's super sophisticated. It's a little bit sometimes like, I don't know if some of you from the UK may or may not recognize this analogy, but that game whack-a-mole, you know, where you kind of bash the little mole that comes out of the game with a mallet, and then it goes away, and then another one comes up and you've got to whack that, right? Sometimes that's what working with our protector can feel like. It's like, oh, it's coming up here and then it's coming up there, right? And we also talked about changing the stories, right? So our protector gives us these stories, invites us to engage and indulge in protective beliefs. But when we are coming at those stories from our healthier adult self, we get to see that we can make some different choices. We can find beliefs that feel just as true as those protective beliefs, and we get to choose which one we want to put our energy into, right? And so you start to see, well, I couldn't believe that, but that feels crap, right? Or I can put my energy into this one, which is a bit more helpful. It's just as true, right? But this one is going to take me somewhere new. The helpful one is going to take me somewhere new. And now we're into this really fun part of part three, where we become a bit unfucking stoppable, right? Which is really about cultivating those healthy adult self resources, what it actually means to kind of live from that place. So we've been, the forum on the courage-based goals on module five has been hilariously fun and so juicy, and I'm so enjoying helping you all choose your goals and figure out what it is you want to just play with over the next 30 days. And the idea behind courage-based goals is that it gives us a really useful direction for us to kind of play with these ideas, right? It's like, as soon as you say, I'm going to do this thing, your protector's like, oh, are you? Are you just, right? And it's going to come up and give you all of these protective beliefs, and you'll probably find yourself covered in Dorito dust watching Netflix box sets rather than working on the stuff you had planned. And it's like, well, how did I get here, right? But that's how our protectors work, right? And we sort of are very intentionally stirring that part of us up a little bit by playing with a courage-based goal. It's like a very focused 30 days to bring something to life in order for us to see how our self-doubt shows up. How does it pop up? What does it have to say? What information or invitations is it giving us as we're doing that? And this week we've started working with our healthy adult self resources. So growing self-belief, what does that actually look like? Like when we are leading our own lives, when we're actively participating in the creation of a life that suits us, how do we do that? What does that look like? So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at growing self-belief, growing self-acceptance, self-worth, and self-trust. And what I'm doing in those modules is giving you ways to really ground that into your life. Like what can happen is that it's like self-belief. Yeah, that sounds like a nice to have, but it feels quite far away from where I am right now. So the idea of these modules is to help you to actually do some stuff, to play with it, right? To bring your understanding and what it means to you to be working with these resources, bring those into your everyday life, right? So some of these tools and approaches are going to be kind of one-off things that you might do every couple of years, like a vision board for the life you want to create. And some things you can do every day, right? Like living from some intention, like actually setting an intention every day for a few days in a row and seeing what the difference is, right? So the idea here is that this is like a potluck. It's a buffet. You get to choose. You get to play with what suits you. It's absolutely understandable and completely expected that some of these things you'll be like, yeah, that's not really me. And other things you're like, oh, I'm going to do that for the next 100 years, right? This really has got me. Okay. So you get to decide. And the cool part is that as you are deciding, you're actually using self-trust, right? You're discerning for yourself what suits me. Yeah. Now, for some of you, you'll be in this place of, excuse me, of feeling like you're on top of things, you've kind of got a bit of a handle on it, you can see where we're going, this is feeling okay for you. Can you put your hand up if that's you? If you sort of feel like, yeah, I'm kind of doing this. Mary, I'm totally expecting your hand up. Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Yeah. And for others, you're like, I'm so behind. I can't even talk about how behind I am. I had all these great intentions and I haven't quite done that. Oh, Andy's already there. Yeah, love it. Love it. Yeah, perfect. Well, okay. So what I want to just reassure anyone who's in that second group is that is completely understandable when for lots of your life, every time you've probably enrolled in a program or you have made an effort to change things, your protector's come up and gone, yeah, you don't want to do that, right? That's not safe. We don't know what's on the other side of that. And it may be that you don't quite trust yourself to follow through. So all I would offer is that this just means you're a bit unpracticed at following through. Doesn't actually mean that there is something wrong. You don't have to make yourself wrong ever. And for lots of us, we've had other people in our lives who've been pretty happy to make us wrong. And so unless we've got an alternative voice saying, well, maybe that's not true, what else could be true? Then it makes complete sense that we might believe that. So I would say the fact that you are here, that you're playing with this, that you are investing your time and energy and money into this program, says to me that your healthy adult self is quite alive in you. That's the part of you that's led you here. That's the part of you that I have in just infinite hope for. That's who I see when I look out at you all. So don't make yourself wrong. And also don't kind of indulge that protector too much, right? Because what we can do is kind of go, yeah, okay, I can just go gently. I can get myself off the hook. And sometimes our protector's like, yeah, you should totally watch something on Netflix and Doritos are calling, right? And I don't want you to believe that voice either, right? Because it's like one says you're wrong and you can't do this and the other says don't try. And they're both, you know, they're that critic and scapegoat. It's that same kind of voice. It's just flipped a different way. Both of them are saying you shouldn't give this a go for different reasons. They're just using different reasoning for it. So I'm encouraging you to really sit in that seat of your sovereign self, the part of you that has enrolled in this program, that wants more for yourself, for your life, that can see the places where you're like, I just never quite got a handle on that. I never figured that out. No one ever showed me how to do that. No one ever really believed in me very much. So I'm unpracticed at all that. It's like, okay, cool. Well, you're in the perfect spot. Well done, you. Great. This is it, right? And we've got all this time to play with this, okay? Cool. So what I want to do is the chat is very much open, so please know that you can chat away as we go. I wanted to share with you a couple of reflection questions, which we're just going to go through together. And the idea is that this is going to kind of elicit some of the things that are coming up for you. And then we can do some Q&A and some chats and maybe some coaching. We'll see where we get to. Okay. So I've got five questions for you. They're not massive, but just something for you to kind of jot down for yourself, how this lands for you. Okay. So the first question is, what has been the most helpful thing that you've learned so far? Just one helpful thing that you've learned in the 5 weeks or so that we've been hanging out together. You've missed nothing, Andy. So just asking, what has been the most helpful thing that you've learned so far? So just jot that down for yourself. Just one thing. One helpful thing. And if you can't think of anything right now, you can maybe just write down one thing and you can come back to it later. Totally fine. I'm putting you on the spot. So for those of you who are naturally introverted and like to reflect, you might be like, whoa, this is a bit sudden. So you just take your time. Okay. Next question. What is the most challenging aspect of your self-doubt? What are you noticing as we are really focusing on this right now? Yeah, feel free to share anything that's coming up for you in the chat and we'll come back and have a little look at that. So what's the most challenging aspect of your self-doubt? When it comes right down to it, what's the thing that you're like, damn it, this? And if you're sort of going, oh, I don't know what the most challenging bit is, but this annoys me or this is really challenging for me, that's the perfect answer. Just for anyone who has a critic protector who's like, well, is that the most challenging though? Yeah, perfect. These are great little responses in the chat as well. Thank you for sharing. Everyone got an idea of the most challenging aspect? Yeah? Okay, question three. What seeds of your future self have you already planted? Right, so what is it that you want in your future that you're already starting to get a little glimpse of? Even if that's just the possibility, you kind of know a bit more about what you want right now. Yeah, what are the seeds of your future self? Well, those little glimpses, those little moments where you're like, oh, hang on, I kind of know something about it. I know something about myself now. I can see that actually I am embodying a little bit of self-belief sometimes. I just know more about where my self-doubt's holding me back. Anyone finding that question hard? Yeah, Hannah's finding that one hard. Yeah, get it. I get it. So just notice, like, whatever it is that you've learned, that's a little step, right? That's a seed. Yeah, Hannah, I love that. Have a belief that I'm capable of figuring it out. Amazing. Even if you've had like a more helpful belief where you've just gone, I can see that that's true. Actually, that one is true. It's annoying to know that I have a choice and I'm tempted to believe the more protective one, but I can see that this is true. Yeah, beautiful. If there was one thing you could change about your protector, what would it be? There's one thing that you could just kind of wave a bit of a magic wand and change something about your protector, what would it be? Love it. These are great reflections. So I just want to zip back up so we can kind of talk about what's coming up for you all. So the most helpful thing you've learned so far, we're getting things like it's more helpful to actually acknowledge the protector rather than ignore it or get mad at it. Yeah, because it's part of you, right? Unfurling those protector issues. I mean, I love that. Yeah. That you're just looking at what is coming up and why. The challenging aspect. Yeah, I love this, Kate. You don't notice it in real time. You reflect on it afterwards and go, no, oh, I could have done it differently. Yeah. The French have a great phrase for that. It's something about, it loosely translates, I think, as remembering when you get to the escalator as you're leaving the building what you wanted to say, which I kind of love. Yeah, for sure. Oops, sorry. Yeah, and the disempowerment, Andy, I really understand what you mean there. Yeah, it can just kind of knock us for six a little bit, can't it? And Mary's saying, naming the pain that the protectors are shielding me from is really helpful. Love that. And from Hannah, just holding yourself back from your potential. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big one. When I hear you say that, Hannah, it reminds me of my mum. Some of you might know, I lost my mum when she was 53. And she had so much left in her. And it's with me all the time how, you know, we don't get a lot of time. And sometimes that can feel like, yeah, okay, I'm going to make the most of it. And sometimes it can feel like, Christ, I'm running out of time. So it's all of that is there, right? But yeah. And Mary, yes, your self-doubt feels sneaky, pervasive, layered, subtle, nuanced. It's really sophisticated. Yeah. And I think this is just a really, it just means that that's had a lot of energy poured into it, right? All that your self-doubt tells me is that you've found really effective ways of keeping yourself safe by holding yourself back from who you really are. Sophie, I love that. The same old self-doubt theme, I'm not good enough, and it just pops up all over the place. So you got a self, a good enough, not good enough whack-a-mole going on. Yeah. I love what you're saying here, that you have to dive into the nuances to figure out how to work on it in different parts of your life. And what you really just want is a faster, simpler solution. Yeah. How many of us have seen, you know, like an ad that says, hack your procrastination in 5 easy steps and gone, oh, that's for me. That's totally for me, right? And I think this approach where we're actually looking at the root causes and trying to understand, like, where does that I'm not good enough story come from and what else could be true, right? This is us, we go slow to go fast. Right, because what we're doing in this work is developing the muscle of discernment, of being able to kind of say, okay, so I've got this voice. Is it actually mine, this voice that's telling me these stories? Where does that come from? How do I want to approach this situation? What's a more helpful way I can do this? And we get good at interrupting that loop so you can leave it much faster. It's just practice. It's all we're doing. And so that becomes the fast, simple solution that I know we all want. These seeds you're planting are fantastic. Starting to recognize and give myself what I need. Being more flexible with plans. Amazing, Kate. Capable that you've got a belief you're capable of figuring it out eventually, Hannah, is great. And other Kate, starting to recognize the self-doubt loop and breaking it when I feel activated. Fantastic. Dealing with my money in a kind, compassionate, constructive, honest manner and recognizing I can ask for help and survive. So for anyone who is kind of going, what's it like when you put your plan together and you start taking action on your courage-based goal? Please go find Mary's shares in the discussion forum. She has done this beautiful job of being so open and honest about that. It was like, where's the dopamine hit, man? This is a trudge. And I'm like, yep, it is sometimes, right? So yeah, but I can also see, and you will be able to see this too, so many of you have replied to Mary that, you know, it's like, oh, it is a bit of a tedious trudge sometimes, but it still counts. Like, I see you slaying dragons every day, Mary. It's brilliant. Yeah, and Levette, I love this. You're showing up and just letting the material wash over you, even when you can't absorb it or you don't have time for it. Perfect. Showing up for yourself is basically saying, I matter and this matters. It's huge. It's huge. And all of you are doing that right now. Brilliant. If there was one thing you could change about your protector, what would it be? Yeah, it's exhausting. It's sneaky. You want to be a bit kinder to yourself. Allow it to know that it's safe to just back off a bit, back down a bit. Thank it for all its hard work. It's okay to turn down the dial. Yeah, I really love that, Hannah. It's that thing of sometimes our protector's voice sounds quite loud and quite important, right? And it's quite dramatic sometimes. Like, it can give you the feeling of importance, even when what it's really doing is kind of being that the six-year-old inside you that's like, but notice me. I need hello. Is anyone noticing me? And so it's doing its thing. So you've got to be careful about this, right? And so when we can say, hey, sweetheart, it's okay. You can just relax because I've got this. And I know you're worried about that thing, and it's going to be okay. I've got this. You can just chill. You can sit back. And there's a lot of you that are talking about wanting to speak to your protector in a different way, or perhaps speak to yourself in a different way. I wonder if anyone wants to, if that resonates with you. Does anyone want to kind of come and talk a bit more about that, maybe get some coaching on it? Let's put your hand up. Who's got a really mean critic that pops up? Yeah, Andy. Just going to ask you to unmute.
Hey.
Hey, sweetheart. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about that voice you got.
Well, it was really interesting hearing what Lovette said, and also someone else, Liang, said that it resonated with them too, the you know, when you're working full time and you have small children and the clocks have changed and the kids are up at 5:30, you just feel so stretched, so thin, and you turn up to watch the videos and it's like there's just no bandwidth for the information to go in, you know. I must have watched that fucking values video like six times. Like every time I watch it, I'm just like, oh my god, I go back again, watch it again. Like I can't, and I'm the critic inside me is just like almost, you know, like why are you bothering?
Yeah. Why are you bothering?
Well, that's why it's really great to hear you say these things, like, you know, showing up right now is just 85% of the work, no?
Completely. That's a very accurate percentage, I would say.
And I also think, like, if you don't start now, then when? Like, sometimes you just have to commit.
Yeah. I wonder too, Andy, if you have this sense that there might not ever be a time when the kids aren't up at 5:36 and there's space and time for you. So it's I wonder if it's more about creating that space inside you where you can be.
Yeah, I actually in the I'm just really tired. This is stuff that's fine to talk about. I think that you just create this space with
Your tears are so welcome. You just bawl away. We've all got you.
Feels a bit silly, but
not
so. I'm really interested in, like, whenever I feel resistance, just trying to put myself forward. So whenever any of you coaches go, does anyone want to speak? And I'm like, oh no, and then I'm like,
oh yeah, we know this.
Do it, you know, like just do it, you know. So even though, like, I almost hold my hand back from like putting my hand, I just try and jump in. But I had a good chat with Lisa about it because and everything that you're saying and that other people are saying inside the comments right now, like the quick results, like I want the quick results, and I, you know, don't want to do the work, but I want the results. She was just really great in the acknowledging the nervous system dysregulation and being okay with that and just being with it, and it's okay, and there's something else which is going to come around the corner. You know, it's not going to be like this forever. So stop trying to like rush for the results, but make some peace with what is right now.
Yeah.
That's what one of the big things I took away. And as someone who's like quite results driven and likes to think of herself as a bit of an achiever and is always like, okay, what's next? And it's just, you know, you just try to make peace with and be with what is rather than like consistently like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
That is hard. That is hard.
Yeah.
Even just talking about it is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see you wanting to kind of push it away.
Yeah.
What if that's the work?
That is the work. That totally is the work. That's why I'm like, put my hand up, talk about it, get it out of my body. Like I know that I'm totally committed to doing the work, but I really don't like doing the work.
Yeah.
But I am, you know, I know that to get to where I want to get to go to,
yeah,
I just have to be with it.
So just as I've been hearing you talk, Andy, I've heard three values come out of you. So there's something in here about commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if commitment feels important to you.
Yeah, totally.
You're the sort of person that just sees shit through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so there's totally something for you about commitment. And I wonder if that's a kind of source of pride for you as well. Like, yeah, I see things through.
Yeah.
Totally. Show up. Yeah. So there you go. There's one.
Yeah.
And there's something here about compassion that feels like it's emerging in you.
For myself?
Yeah. It might feel a little bit aspirational right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, I just am so aware right now of my ability to, or of my lack of ability to, I don't really know how to explain this, but you put it into great words in one of your most recent podcasts about the just doing all the time, just doing. The most recent one I've listened to, but I don't know if it's the one you did this week. It's, you know, like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And, you know, just what are the steps? I will do them. But, like, actually sitting with stuff and, like, being in the quagmire, it just, like, sitting and listening, just, you know? Yes. Like, well, I don't know. And I just can't live my life like this anymore. And I, it sounds really dramatic. I don't want to live my life like this anymore. And, I don't even feel like that's something that I live inside of my relationships with people. Like, I feel like I stand for other things inside. I stand for like the dropping into your inner listening and being with your authenticity and where, you know, all of that stuff that we're doing inside this program and like recognizing your strong suits and da da da. And I just realize how much I don't do that with myself and haven't done. And that is me. That's kind of like what the last 3 months have been for me.
So what I want you to recognize is that this is a capacity you have.
Yeah. Is it?
Right, like, but you have this capacity, it's just that at the moment it's with other people.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not like you need to learn anything new. There's no skill you need to learn.
Yeah.
It's more about redirection.
Yeah. And is that a protector that comes up to stop that application with myself?
Sometimes, I mean, we could talk more about that. It sounds to me it's got some aspects of a martyr protector.
Yeah.
Because you're putting other people in front of you and saying you're more important.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that ever leads to a feeling of a bit of resentment that you're pretty good at taking care of other people, but who's taking care of you?
Oh my God, yes. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Okay. Yeah.
That is literally what my bread and butter is.
Yeah. So that's a great thing to know. Right? Like you're naming this now. It's like, oh, that's that pattern again.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if there is some kind of, like, I know we all want the quick and dirty fixes, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm attempting to do in these videos around the healthy adult self resources is give you fast ways in, right? So setting intentions for self-belief. One of the things that we do for self-acceptance, which is like the really healthy aspect of that martyr protector, is acknowledging your own needs and your emotions.
Yeah.
I noticed when you talked about that, you actually went.
Yeah.
So this is possibly going to feel horrid, but that's the practice for you, is just to get into the habit of acknowledging what you need and how you feel.
It's making the inside of my elbows sweat.
Say again, sorry?
It's making the inside of my elbows sweat.
Excellent. That's a great sign. Yeah. Yeah. And so the thing about this is that it's a practice, right? It's like, and with self-acceptance, you don't even have to really do anything.
Mm.
It's about developing the practice of accepting that you have needs and emotions.
Yeah.
Because you're a human being.
Yeah.
Right. And so even just getting into that habit of, you know, in those moments where you're kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do. If you can remind yourself that you can take a moment, go to the loo if you need to, and you're just like, okay, how do I feel right now? And what do I need?
Yeah.
And you start just offering that to yourself. Maybe it's something you need to hear and you can tell it to yourself. And it's going to feel really awkward and you're going to be like, fuck's sake, Sass, this is not working. I don't understand this. I hate this.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. You can fight me on it. I totally am here for it, right? But the idea is that you just start to allow yourself to take up some room in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what I'm hearing is that you're very, very good at letting other people take up room in your life.
Yeah, for me, a lot of it comes back to finances. I'm really interested to hear when we're going to, the conversation around empowerment and finances and self-belief and all of that, because so much of my work is involved. I have to I have to work with more clients and patients so that I can have enough money to pay for the things to look after myself. And I'm really interested in unraveling that, you know, like, yeah.
Well, so what I want you to also notice, right, is that asking yourself, how do I feel and what do I need right now? What I need to hear right now, that's free.
Right. Yeah.
Costs nothing except a couple of minutes of your time.
Yeah.
And it's totally okay if you are, you know, wanting to maybe explore this in a goal. Maybe there's a goal in here about raising your rates or working with more clients.
Yeah.
That might be a fun one to play with, right? Because it's going to, the reason to choose any goal, I think, is to bring up the stuff that you're going to need to play with, the stories you might need to kind of explore, the beliefs you might need to bust, and you know, the new experiments of action taken to see what would happen.
Yeah. I mean, the irony is that I actually just did Ellie's mastermind the last
right. Yeah.
But I recognized I'm building out this new arm of my business and she's been fantastic in supporting me to do that. And then I didn't continue with the next 6 month mastermind because I just knew I had to do some self-belief work before I.
Yeah. Perfect.
So yeah, I feel like I'm taking the steps to work towards doing all of that.
Yeah.
Unraveling the.
Maybe, I mean, that would make a great goal, right? Yeah. You could spend 30 days, you know, and maybe the outcome is that you have brought on a number of new clients or a couple of new clients, or you've raised your rates or both. And the idea is we're just going to spend 30 days seeing what happens when you put your intention and your self-belief and your emerging self-acceptance and trust and worth into that goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of can't lose.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you're sort of detaching from the outcome a bit and you're more interested in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got a commitment goal, a commitment value. It's really going to support you in that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I do have self-belief that I can build out this new arm, and I do.
Yeah.
I can visualize it, you know.
Perfect. Yeah. How, what's, like, I'm wondering, like, how you're feeling about that kind of mean voice that's in there. Like, what I'm hearing as we're talking now is your healthy adult self.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. How am I feeling about that mean voice? I just feel like that's my home right now. Like, that's, you know, yeah, it's like, get as much done as you can before pick up and drop off. And
well, and also recognize that voice is not just yours, right? That kind of like, get stuff done, these are your responsibilities, you're a parent and a business owner, like,
yeah.
There are so many other systems that are operating around you that are requiring you to fulfill these demands or expecting you to fulfill these demands.
Yeah. Like,
we live in a culture that has no value at all for the time and energy that parenting takes. It just doesn't care because it can't profit from it.
Yeah.
Right. So there are systems that we're part of that feed our self-doubt like nobody's business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not alone in this.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel pretty, I do feel pretty empowered when it comes to my parenting.
Good.
I mean, I feel exhausted, but, you know, that's just by the by of having two small children, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do feel really empowered in regards to looking forwards at relationship that I want to have with my kids when they're adults and planting the seeds for that right now. And they're 1 and 5, you know, so a lot of it's, you know, playing, you know, creating an environment where, you know, a lot of emotional regulation conversation, a lot of feelings, a lot of, like, you know, I have a daughter who's 5, and so I'm really big on, like, getting anger out of, you know, just anyway, a lot of stuff that's, I just feel really empowered. All of that is to say, I don't feel like my self-belief issues come in around my parenting. I feel like because they're little assholes right now and they wake up at like 5 a.m. every morning, like, this, just the exhaustion that plays into my self-belief that comes up in other areas of my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. And really being tired, like being physically tired, everything's harder.
It's so hard.
Everything is harder. Yeah. So, and this is the thing, right, is that's why that compassion is so important for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I know it in theory. I know it in theory. Like, you know, I read Kristen Neff's book. I'm not everything you say. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, and then when it just comes to the application, it's like whoosh.
Well, and that's going to be the key, right? Is yeah. that is to get into building that habit, building that self-compassion muscle.
Yeah.
That's the way to bring it into your life. And I really do. I mean, you are all so smart and you know that speaking to yourself in a shitty way is going to create shitty results. I mean, I'm not yeah. for a moment trying to suggest that there's anything of that, but it's like, but then how do we get that understanding into our body? So it becomes, you know, a natural response to go, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You're
is
okay.
that awareness, right? Like, yes. It's like, oh, that's my protector. All yeah. right, I see you. That's fine. Be there.
Yeah.
We're making space for other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, my 30-day goal was, and this came out of my not this week's coaching call, but the last one I had with Scott was just like working out 3 times a week. Just like 3 times a week, just to build capacity for myself, like go for a walk, do a little bit of yoga, you know, like just or whatever, you know, like nothing that's like going to stress me out, like a HIIT class or something insane like that. But just making time for myself to build the capacity, to have the presence, to recognize when the protector's coming in.
Beautiful.
That was what came out of my conversation with Scott, which I feel really good about. Like I'm one down and it's Thursday and I can do some tomorrow and some on Saturday. Like I feel good. It's achievable, you know?
Yeah. And so this is the thing, folks, like if you're listening and you're like, oh, it sounds like Andy's got more than one goal. I bet you have too. I bet that your 30-day goal is not the last thing that you want to be doing. Right. And so rest assured, like, 30-day goals are the way to do anything. Like, trust me, I've read so much of the body of work around human motivation. It's untrue. And 30-day goals work specifically for folks with self-doubt because it's not too overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right. And we're doing this in conjunction with, and we expect the setbacks and the shit times and the moments when we're too knackered and we don't feel like it. Like, that's all woven in. It's all good.
Yeah.
So, all I would say, Andy, is choose whatever it is that feels the most supportive to you right now, knowing that you get to do another one. You can start another one and be supported in that in January if you fancy it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel like right now if I can just 3 times a week just get time to do movement and just like feel better, then everything's gonna, I feel like that would just help so much. That was really true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
I'm just noticing. I've been noticing all the comments that have come in, and just so much support and love from folks.
Thanks, everyone.
Fellow mums and folks who are maybe a little further along on the parental adventure. But yeah, I don't know if you saw this, but there was like, I don't know how many thousands of women marching in London at the weekend. Yeah,
I know.
Right, yeah. We should never, ever feel alone in this.
Yeah.
Those systemic, shitty stories that we're living out.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for all the really lovely comments, guys. I'll read through them now. Thanks,
Andy. Thank you, Andy. Thank you. So just notice, folks, if you really relate to Andy's kind of experience of that voice is just, if like, I love what you said, that it feels like home. It's so familiar, right? That shitty voice feels so familiar. The one that's judging, the one that is making you feel diminished in any way. It's just a habit. I know it doesn't feel like that. I know it feels like it's reporting the news. It's reporting the truth. But it's a habit, and it's been unquestioned for so long that as soon as you're starting to go, hang on a sec, is that actually true? What else could be true? What's a more helpful way of looking at this? What's a more helpful way of speaking to myself? It's going to possibly get more activated by that, right? Like all the work that we're doing right now, and particularly if you're kind of like in the place of choosing a goal and starting to take action on it, you're going to be stirring up and activating your self-doubt, your protector. And it's probably going to be a little bit worried, right? It's going to be like, what's happening? You're doing things. I don't like it. I don't feel safe. And so our job is to say, it's okay. It's okay. To get into that place where you can kind of calm yourself down and offer yourself some discernment. Is it true that if I post about my business on Instagram that I will be rejected? Is that actually true? Is that proportionate? Or is it that some people might not be interested in my work and other people will, and some people will be indifferent? Is that a more likely scenario? Right. So you're starting to just offer yourself some discernment when you're taking action around the things that do get you stirred up a bit. Right. Is it safe for me to feel this feeling? Is it safe for me to take care of myself today? To ask someone for help? Right. Whatever, to create something. Yeah. Whatever it is that is coming up, it's like all you're doing is offering yourself an alternative to that mean voice. That mean voice has had a long job and you're making it slowly redundant and it's going, hang on a freaking minute, what's my payout package, right? I don't know what job I'm going to do. If I go, you won't be safe, right? If I go, you're at risk. And what we're doing with our healthy adult self is saying, no, it's okay, I got this. I am the most resourced of us. I'm the one with the most experience. I've got the biggest perspective. It's okay. You can stand down, turn the dial down. And you're just offering that to yourself again and again and again until it starts to become a bit innate. I just want to say, we're coming up to time. I just wanted to say, does anyone want to ask any other questions? I just want to make myself available. If you've got questions or things are coming up for you, I can hang around. So I just want to kind of let everyone know that we're coming up to the hour. And if you do need to go, feel free to. And if you want to stay, if you have questions, I'm right here. So we can do that. Okay. Anyone want to stick their hand up and ask for some support right now? Anything that's coming up, any questions you have, any bits where you're stuck? Right here. I'm going to assume everything is tickety-boo otherwise. Hannah, there she is. Hi, love. Oh, can you just unmute yourself? Just click on the little microphone icon. Yeah, we got you. I'm going to let you try and figure that one out, Hannah, and we'll come back to you, okay? Anyone else want to ask a question? Ask for some support? Please know if you need to go, you totally can. If you need to go out and come back in again, Hannah, you totally feel free to do that.
Can I ask something, Sass?
Yes, Kate. Hi, love.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. it's not about the, well, it is about the goal, but which I haven't done a lot on, but I've just got a bit overwhelmed by the amount of work. I've absolutely loved this week's module. Like, it's the first one that's really got me fired up. So I've spent a lot of time looking at my values and my bucket of joy that I've started, which I'm really enjoying. So these are all, I don't know, this week has felt really fun.
Yeah. It's meant to.
But good. But the result is that I have the goal, my 30-day goal has just completely kind of been shelved. So yeah, I suppose I'm just feeling like, oh, I'm not doing it, and you know, there's too much to do, and
yeah,
even though I'm enjoying the process. But
yeah, how do you feel about goals generally?
Don't love them, but they're always something to be kind of smashed, you know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. How does it feel to smash a goal?
Yeah, it feels great. It feels amazing, but it takes a lot of work.
And you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by the sounds of things.
Yeah. So what I talked about with Lisa was a journey-based goal, and I had a bit of resistance initially, thinking, "Oh, it sounds a bit wishy-washy." Yeah. So maybe I've just had trouble with it because it's not maybe it's not something that I'll necessarily get a tangible outcome from.
And so, like, I'm just hearing the way you're describing your goals, right? It's like you like to smash them, and if it's journey based, it's a bit wishy washy.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is you've got quite a good critic protector.
Okay.
Does that sound true? Is that the one you kind of identify with?
Yeah. There's also a bit of bystander that goes on. The critic, because I was thinking when you were going, if you were talking about a protector, I was just it in my head, it's going, my protector is an asshole. And when you said it's the mean voice, and it does take up all the bandwidth. So it's been really helpful hearing you reframe it as your healthy adult self has got the bigger perspective. And it's making that protector redundant. So I think the protector is amplified because I'm trying to minimize it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm in a lot of
conflict. Well, and the thing is, right, like this whole thing is just a massive invitation. So if you're like, you know what, I don't really want to do a goal, and that feels really good and clean to you, then that's perfect. You can carry on without one.
Well, I do want to do the goal. I want to do a goal because I want to go through the process.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it comes back to you saying detaching from the outcome. I think I'm too invested in an outcome.
Yeah. So when you think about detaching from the outcome, which sounds great, right? But what does it mean to you? If you don't get an outcome, what does that mean about you?
That I won't have achieved what I set out to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no clear end point. So if I can't see where I'm going, you know, what's the point of going through the process?
Well, and that's it, right? That if it was a kind of journey-based goal, it's more about the experience along the way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like it becomes self-fulfilling. Yeah. Damn it. Yeah. So one way you could do this, right, is to think about, like, do you mind sharing a little bit more about what the journey-based goal was?
Yeah. I mean, it's very straightforward. It's based around finances, and it's to feel calm and empowered about my finances.
Okay.
So it's not about sorting them out. It's just getting to a point where I'm resourced to do that.
Okay. And so when you think about being calm and resourced around your finances, what does that give you? What would you be able to do?
I would be able to make a lot more decisions about moving my life forward. And the things I want to do with my life in the next few years, would make a huge impact.
Yeah. So you could see this as the start of that goal. It sounds like that one has a lot more spice attached to it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, you know, it's like preparing to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, because what that can then do is like, oh, okay, by the, I'm going to do these things in the next 30 days so that by the end of that, I'm going to feel pretty prepared to start looking at the bigger decisions that I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Does it, how does that feel about to you as a kind of outcome?
Yeah, it sounds, it just sounds really kind, like a really kind way to look at doing that for myself, I think.
Yeah. So it's all the prep work.
Yeah. That's,
and this is the stuff that we kind of dismiss for those of us who like to like keep working and are pretty achievement oriented, then it can feel a little bit like, oh, it's a bit annoying to have to prepare. Right?
Yeah.
But actually that's usually the foundation.
Yep. Yeah. I think I'm just thinking back to the beginning of the call when we were, some people were saying about you want the results fast. So yeah. And the prep work is the kind of,
yeah.
It's a bit boring, isn't it? It's not sexy. Well,
and I think, you know, maybe there are things that you can bring in from the self-belief module that sounds like that was quite fun for you, like you really enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there'll be aspects of that that you can bring in to this process.
Okay.
What comes up for you there?
Yeah, a bit of a fire in my belly, I think. Yeah, that made me feel excited. I was like, it's like, oh yes, I can look at my values and
yeah.
How can I align my values with this?
Yeah.
Yeah, little connection there. Thank you.
Nice. You're very welcome. That's very cool. And I guess, you know, just notice like some of this stuff is like going to feel edgy because we're so unpracticed at it. Like it's just not our natural way of doing things. But often I think we think, oh, that's my preference, but we haven't really tried the alternative. So when you're doing this work, you're really giving yourself an option so that when you do go for a goal in the future, maybe you don't have to like totally smash it and make it quick and like it's not then a race for yourself, right? It's actually like, oh, okay, what is, you know, how do I want to feel while I'm bringing this goal to life? What's the way I can do that? So you're basically building a little toolkit for yourself about how you get things done.
Okay.
And when it is more aligned to your values, it's just going to feel more fun, more like you.
Yeah. That already makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, just to pick up on what Andy was raising around these bigger systems, right? Like when you look at our culture and it comes to goals, we do have to smash it. We go big or we go home, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's all or nothing. And actually, we don't have to buy into that. So you're doing a beautiful job of challenging that whole narrative, which is fun.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you. Good work, hey?
Helpful. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I think we might have lost Hannah. Looks like she's having some issues with her microphone. So we will... okay, and we're going to message on the website, so that's perfect. Anyone else have anything they want to stick their hand up about? Any questions, anything that's a bit unclear, anything you think, can you help me get unstuck from this bit, please? Then I might be able to help.
I do have a question, Sass.
Hey, Sophie.
Hi. And it's a bit of one, like, it's kind of like I don't know what the question is, kind of. But there's one area of my around relationships, like romantic relationships. I don't think I understand the problem. Like, so do you suggest making action-based goals, like, before you've unraveled it? Or how do you get under the skin of it?
What's the goal?
Oh God, I might get emotional.
Totally fine.
To find a partner.
To find a partner. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a beautiful goal to have for yourself. Tell me about what's coming up for you as you say that.
So I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're so welcome. Just breathe. You're just so safe.
Yeah, so I'm like recently turned 40, so I guess it's like a milestone, you know.
Yeah.
And I actually I got my eggs frozen last year, and I was saying to a friend of mine, it's like one of the only things I think I've ever done for myself that's like really it actually was a form of self-belief. Like, you could have been like, just like, I'm running out of time, fuck it, I'm not going to bother, like, I'm obviously on the shelf, no one wants me. But it was something I did. It was quite a big financial investment too. And it's quite like, it's an invasive procedure. It's half of IVF, I guess. Like, yeah. So I was really proud of myself for doing that. But I guess I went through some emotions at the same time going, God, can't believe I'm here and I have to do this. Yeah. I grew up like, there's lots of Kiwis on the call, I think, and this could be me making a massive judgment, but based on, I think, you know, the expected life journey is, you know, single woman finds man in her 20s or 30s, settles down, has kids. Blah, blah, blah. So I feel like, I'm not sure if I'm just judging myself, but I think, I don't think men suffer the same judgment, but I feel like women at my age, it's very unusual that you would not have been married or in a committed partnership at my age. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. You are stuck in your ways. You're too career focused. You're too something. But I don't feel like any of those things. I just feel a bit like, what's wrong with me? So, like, I was thinking, you know, like, I'm on all the dating apps. I'm like, look, I went out to see my friend in Berkshire the other day. I must be the only single woman in Berkshire because, man, that thing was thinging so many matches. So it's not like I'm not taking action, but I don't feel like I've unraveled the core issue. And then, you know, are you just meeting people and then being like, well, I don't know, is it more, I don't know, there's a lot there.
Yeah, I can hear that. Like, it's like,
that's what the question is.
Yeah, no, it does. It feels like it's a bit cloudy for you, right? Yeah,
really cloudy, because I don't like, when I meet people and stuff, I don't feel like, I feel excited to meet people. I don't feel negative about men or like, you know, I feel really, I really want to, yeah. But I just don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, what if there wasn't anything wrong with you? What else could be true about why this is taking as long as it takes?
Well, I guess I am like a little bit, I'm not afraid to really, not that I, you know, like, I find myself, if I meet someone who doesn't align with my values, then I'm not afraid to back away. Like, I did meet a really nice guy, perfect on paper over the summer. Brilliant. Yeah. But we weren't friends. Like, do you know what I mean? You just don't have that. So like, he was perfect, super successful, like into sports like me and like, you know, great stuff. But there was just this underlying thing. And I was like, oh, I can't, like, I just can't.
Yeah.
So
what are you, what are you,
that's positive. Like, I'm not going to just, you know, totally. Be in a moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the thing, right? Like, you're not, it's not that you are willing to settle.
Yeah, but maybe I'm, yeah.
Right? You're not, well, you're describing trusting your own judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what if this isn't anything to do with anything being wrong with you?
I mean, I'd love that for that to be the case. I just see evidence to refute that, like, this, you know?
What's the evidence?
The statistics.
Hit me with your evidence that this is all down to you.
Well, I just go on the statistically. Like, statistically, a woman of my age would, but very few people are not involuntarily single or haven't been married. You know, like, I don't know.
So, okay, so that's great information to know. It doesn't sound very helpful, but how how do you know that the reason you are single is because
I'm a common denominator
of you? Right. But look at what you're doing. I don't want to get into like convincing you. I want you to see, right, that actually what you're describing is that you're out there and you're dating and you're not willing to settle for someone who actually would be a fine option, but you didn't feel that. So you said no. So you're exhibiting really good judgment for yourself. You can trust yourself. You're obviously like smart and beautiful and talented and capable. You're making really good decisions about what you actually want in your life by doing this really brave thing of freezing your eggs. It's like, I want that for myself. So I'm not waiting for permission. I'm just going to do it, even though it's hard. So what if this takes as long as it takes and it's nothing to do with you?
I would love to feel at the end of this course, like really at peace with it. Because I feel at the moment, mm-hmm. it would be great to feel if I lived the rest of my life single, I would be happy with that. I would like, that feels to me like, oof, horrible. I don't want to have to accept that. Yeah. But I would like to, it would feel empowering.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hearing is that actually what you want to feel is at peace with what is. Because
I want to find a partner and have a family.
Yeah.
So I do want to be at peace because I also feel like I bring, you know, it's just, I don't want to, because then you overanalyze, right? I'm like, do I bring like a desperate vibe to dates because like I'm 40, or do people assume that like I just want to lock it in, or I don't know. There's just so many things.
Well, it sounds to me like you've got, I've heard about half a dozen stories, right, that are kind of going around you at the moment about women your age, about maybe it's you, about all of the stats, all of that kind of thing. A bit of homework I'd love to give you, Sophie, if you're up for it. A little challenge is is to listen back to this section of the call and just write down for yourself all of the beliefs you have about why you're single. Right, so you might want to do like a big mind map, you know, where you just kind of jot it all down on a piece of paper. Why am I single? And just answer that question for yourself, right? And I want you to take every belief that you have that feels like a protective belief, right? So a protective belief is something that is holding you back from what you want.
Yeah.
And put that through the belief buster.
Yeah.
So the aim of this is to come up with 5-ish supportive, helpful beliefs. So these are just short sentences that you believe that are true to you, that actually help you as you're going through your temporary dating journey before you get snapped up.
Cool, thank you. And thanks everyone for bearing with me there.
I just want to say also, Sophie, when I went back to New Zealand in 2007, I was like, right, I am going to meet someone. I've been single for all this time. I was in my mid-30s. I'm going to meet someone. I was like, I'm so healed and ready. I wasn't. But I don't think that's necessary anyway. And the headline on the Sunday Times newspaper, the Sunday Star Times, I don't know if that was there when you were there, was a massive article about a national man shortage. That's what they actually called it. They said all of the eligible Kiwi men had left the country.
Yeah, and I believe it. There's other headlines that say like you're more likely to be hit by lightning and get married after 40s. It's like not helpful.
But all of these stories, right,
yeah,
are designed to make us as women panic and buy shit to make us feel better. Right? It's all a massive narrative that we don't have to buy into. Right? So I really want you to just like relax into your awesomeness and get do yourself the favor of getting half a dozen of those really helpful beliefs that will support you in this journey.
Yeah.
Because right now you are single and it's like, well, you may as well enjoy it.
Oh, I do enjoy it. It's just, yeah. I'm not saying that everything's dark and like my life sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, saying there's this part of my life that I want to work on.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So it feels to me like you've got a really healthy, balanced approach to this. And some ways that you're talking to yourself about it would just elevate that a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Cool. I'll do the work. Thanks.
Love it. Yeah. Oh, I love this from Faye. I think a survey proved that the happiest subset of people in the world are single women in their 40s. I actually think that is true. Not to doubt you, Faye. I think I've read the same thing. Yeah. Perfect. Like there's always going to be a challenge, a narrative that will challenge the shitty story, the unhelpful protective story. Yeah. Amazing. Good luck, Sophie. And no, there's no such thing as ugly crying, man. You do it. You go for it. Amazing. Okay, folks. So I have loved our session today. Thank you so much to Andy and Sophie for sharing. And Hannah will, if you're watching the recording, will absolutely pick this up on the forum. And anyone else who wants some support. This was super fun. And Kate, go forth and bring your values to life. Bloody brilliant. Yeah. I knew I spoke to someone else as well. Okay. Fab. All right, my loves, take care of yourselves and I will see you on the forum. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.